Welcome into the Sports Page podcast. I'm your host, Paige DeMacos, here with Jake Arians. No hype train this week. He's off in New York doing hype train things.
Happy Thanksgiving hype train.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing. I envision that his Thanksgiving has a lot of complaining because that's what hype train does 99% of the time. And that's what New Yorkers do. So just taking shots left and right why hype train's not
started
in the building.
Started off early today.
Started off early, and that's because it's Thanksgiving week. It's one of the best weeks for football because you get the day off, you get to hang out with your family, and there's football on from... Best thing about living in the West Coast, 10:30 a.m. kickoff. Nice. It's right when I get up in the morning. I'm going to go have some coffee,
have some breakfast. All night,
yeah.
Friday.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And we're kicking things off with a traditional Detroit Lions always on Thanksgiving, and they're facing off against the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings are going on the road. They're getting 3 points on the road, which is... We talk about that usually in these divisional rival games. That doesn't really happen. So a lot of faith in the Minnesota Vikings from Vegas.
I'd never like picking against the Lions on Thanksgiving.
Yep.
I don't like picking the better quarterback at home and picking against that. But I'm going to. I see it exactly like Vegas. I got 23-20 Vikings. I'm a believer. I said last week if the Rams could get through that one on the road, I really liked what they got going on. And that Vikings team beat them up.
Sure
physically,
did.
Won the offensive line, defensive line. They looked good. Stafford's got his weapons back. I told you last week I thought he played better on our podcast Sunday, the fantasy stuff. He played pretty good. I don't want to pick against this Vikings team, even though it's on the road. I mean, Detroit's not exactly a really tough place to play. It's tough
no.
to go on the road 4 days and play on Thursday. We've talked
for sure.
about a bunch. I just think they got enough to get it done.
Yeah, Ford Field isn't exactly an intimidating atmosphere. A lot of that has to do with there's no weather. It's a dome. It doesn't change things up. Detroit, you know, their fan base is obviously very intense, but that rivalry doesn't bring out anything. If you go to Minnesota, that atmosphere is crazy. It's not like that in Detroit. So I'm with you. I think the road team wins here, and I think it could be 24-17, 24-20, but a close game, I think, just because these two teams in the division, they always play each other close. And these two teams are pretty evenly matched. I give Minnesota the upper hand, but like you said, the better quarterback is Matthew Stafford.
Here's what it's going to come down to. I think the Vikings at the end of the game can run the ball on on Detroit's defense.
Yes.
And not give Stafford a chance to come back and win it. That defense has been giving up some rushing yards. I think that's really what it's going to come down to late because I think it's going to be a really close game.
They're going to have to do that because we all know Matthew Stafford and that fourth quarter magic happens quite often.
Crazy stat. I saw that the other night. Russell Wilson's got like 19 fourth quarter comebacks.
Mm-hmm.
He was second to Matthew Stafford, who's like 25 or 26
yeah, those,
the same time period. I was like, wow, that's not even close.
Those guys turn it on for the fourth quarter. It's quite fun to watch. All right, next matchup. Not exactly a divisional rival or a big-time game, but the LA Chargers going on the road to play the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are suffering. They do not look like the same team without a couple of players that are missing, specifically Ezekiel Elliott, one of their starting guards, Sean Lee. We've talked about
Tyron Smith is the biggest thing that they're missing for sure. And this week,
you better hope
he plays.
Yeah, the problem here is you're on a short week, so you have that stacked against you going into this game. I think even if he plays, and that's a big if coming off the injury, this is just not going to be pretty. I don't have faith in Dallas, and I hate that I'm picking two road teams right in a row, but I'm picking the Chargers to win this game in Dallas because Dallas just doesn't look like the same football team.
I got the Chargers 27-21, and that's if Dallas can score 21 on this defense. I think it could be ugly. Those two, at least said it last week, why in the hell the Bills decided to switch quarterbacks going into that matchup?
Yeah,
I'm fine if you want to do it, but not then. He threw 5 picks and got hit on 4 of them right in the mouth. Joey Bosa was an absolute animal.
Chargers, very underrated defense.
Now, we talked about it early in the season. I said they were going to get better, and if they were in any other division, I might pick them to win the division, other than the one that they're in. Now they might end up winning that division. I think they get on a roll. I think Dallas is reeling, and I think it continues to get ugly, and the chaos that ensues in the next month in Dallas is going to be interesting at best to watch.
Yeah, lots of stuff going on around the outside of Dallas between Roger Goodell and Jerry Jones. A lot of noise. I don't know that that's impacting the team. It obviously doesn't help the team by any means, that's for sure. I know that. But without Ezekiel Elliott, without their starting guard, Smith, and Sean Lee, we talked about it in their defense. Their defense does not look like the same team when he's not on the field.
No, not even close.
So I'm picking the Chargers 27-20. The Chargers are a 2-point favorite going on, and that's because Vegas knows Dallas Cowboys fans, and they like to put a lot of money on their team. So good luck with that, Cowboys fans. Last game of the night, rivalry, New York Giants, Washington Redskins. The Giants just came off a huge win against the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think anybody picked them to win that football game. And all we heard going into that game was they've lost the locker room. Ben McAdoo's lost the locker room. They have no weapons. Sterling Shepard's not playing. Their defense played really well against Alex Smith and company. And maybe it's more of Alex Smith coming back to earth than anything.
It's not Alex Smith. That we talked about that Kansas City game last week, them not getting cute coming off a bye. And they got cute. They got cuter than they were going into all those games the last 3 or 4 weeks. It's exactly the opposite of what I thought I was going to see from Andy Reid after doing some self-scout. And they beat themselves. It really didn't have anything to do with Alex Smith. The wind was blowing 30, 40-mile-an-hour gusts.
Yeah.
That's a tough place to play anyway. Kansas City, bad loss, don't get me wrong.
Very bad loss.
Win for the Giants. But the Kansas City, I hated the game plan that they had going into that. When they really could have, everybody's running on the Giants right now. They could have handled that. I've got the Redskins in this game 28-17. I think the Giants fall back after a big win. And I watched this Redskins team last week. That game against New Orleans was really good. They blew it late.
Yep.
I've been wondering how they're going to get done on offense because I did not see this coming from Kirk Cousins against New Orleans defense. He lit them up.
The Washington Redskins are 7-point favorites in this game. The Giants have won 5 of their last 7 games against the Redskins. But this team, I think that they got their big win, their like moral victory last week, and it's a feel-good thing for them. But this team's not good enough to do that 2 weeks in a row. I just don't. Washington and Kansas City are both better football teams than the Giants, and they're not going to get 2 victories back-to-back.
No,
I don't think so.
And I didn't know how he was getting it done, but I believe in Kirk Cousins. This dude is going to get paid.
He should get paid.
He should have got paid last year and the year before that.
Let's just go through it.
He's just getting better because he's doing it by himself now.
All new receivers. They literally got rid of all his receivers that he had great chemistry with last year.
Gave a ton of money to Terrell Pryor, who did nothing, is now in IR.
Okay, so they haven't had any. Jordan Reed's been hurt the whole year, so his best
Vernon
weapon.
Vernon Davis stepped up big time.
For sure. Their running backs have all been injured. Insert different running back each week. I mean, this guy has gotten it done, and I don't know what more Kirk Cousins has to do to develop that relationship for Snyder, really, to decide that he wants to make this guy the guy going forward. And they're going to end up paying him more money now than if they had just locked it up a couple years ago.
Oh, God, it's getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah,
last year it was
they're gonna look
Deshaun
really stupid.
Jackson and Pierre Garçon, and Jordan Reed was healthy most of the year. And so you could say, okay, this is all on him.
No, if I'm his agent, I am just laughing. I'm like,
if he hits
show
March
13th me the money.
Or whatever free agency deadline is this year, you don't think the Broncos are going to make some giant moves, some teams that are going to be massively desperate right now that have cap space?
The Cardinals, if Carson Palmer hangs it up, there's going to be a lot of teams that are in the mix for a quarterback. There's a lot of teams
There always are, but not one that hits free agency. This never happens. Never happens. This is going to be crazy.
Talk about an organization that's dysfunctional. The Redskins don't have to talk about, but that's a dysfunctional organization.
Absolutely. So we're picking 3 road teams on Thanksgiving?
I don't think
that's going to work out very well for us.
No,
just
Washington's
guessing,
the home team. Washington's
oh, I got it backwards.
Home team.
Oh, perfect.
Yep, Washington's the home team.
So
that's why we're good.
Good. I take all that back. I feel really good about my Thanksgiving Day picks.
Two road teams I'm feeling pretty confident on, and I would say the most confident of those 3 is the last one with that 7. I don't know that Washington covers the spread, but I do think that they win that football game.
I think they cover easy.
Pretty easily. Tampa Bay going on the road to play Atlanta. The Falcons are a 10-point favorite at home. Atlanta had a very interesting game up in Seattle. I think it was a little bit closer than I anticipated that it was going to be. It was a fun game to watch.
They made some really stupid mistakes.
Yes,
it wasn't going to be close.
They sure did. But Atlanta, nonetheless, getting 10 points at home against a Tampa Bay team that's still with Ryan Fitzpatrick, most likely still having some injuries, still having some defensive issues. So I anticipate that Atlanta wins this game pretty easily.
31-20.
Yep.
Fitz is moving the ball. That offense is a little bit better right now with Fitz. I don't think you're going to see Jameis for a few more weeks. That game last week, I mean, we don't know what Miami is, so I don't know how you even look at that game and go.
You can't even look at the film and understand any part
of
that
team. I watched some of it. It was hard to stomach at times. I don't buy anything from that win. I got the Falcons winning this pretty easy. I think the Falcons figured it out a couple weeks ago. They're going to start getting it rolling. I think that division is going to be really fun to watch down the stretch.
Yeah, with them in Carolina and the Saints obviously playing as well as they are, it's going to be a fun one to watch. All right, Cleveland and Cincinnati. Cincinnati getting 8 points at home. Cleveland still doing Cleveland things. It's been ugly. It's getting uglier as it continues on. Cincinnati has been up and down. We've talked about them at length. Of all the games that are happening, this is probably one of the least likely I am to watch, just because I have zero interest in either one of these football teams.
Yeah, I got AJ Green on my fantasy team, has been terrible for a month because they can't get anything going. That's the only reason I'd be paying attention at all. Better quarterback, home team, Bengals win 21-17. The Browns defense is no joke. I've said that for 6-8 weeks now, and nobody believes me. They're playing well. They're just out there.
Yeah, they're going to cover the spread, but they're not not winning that football game.
8 points is a lot. Yeah, I got 21-17 Bengals.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. All right, Tennessee going on the road to play Indianapolis. The Titans are getting 3 points going into Indy. It's the biggest news out of Indianapolis is that Chuck Pagano's favorite Thanksgiving food is spaghetti and meatballs, so I think he's a raving lunatic after I heard that
Chuck,
today.
Chuck, he's Italian, man. Come on.
I'm like, Chuck, I love you, dude, but, like, I'm Greek and we don't serve Greek food on Thanksgiving. Like, come on, dude.
Good point.
Even if your favorite Thanksgiving food is spaghetti and meatballs, just say something Thanksgiving related.
Say turducken.
Say anything. Anything other than a traditional Italian dish for American Thanksgiving. But that, nor here nor there, Tennessee wins this football game, I think, pretty easily.
This is so interesting because I don't look at the spreads at all when I do my picks. And I've got it exactly the same way. I've got the Titans 24-21.
Yep.
Indy's been competitive. That front seven is good. It does not match up well with the Titans who want to run it. Corey Davis is back, getting more acclimated, had more targets last week. So they've got some weapons on both sides now. Yeah. Delanie Walker's back healthy. I think all that is enough, but I think Mariota's going to have to play better and throw it to win this game. I think they do, but I think it's a really good competitive game.
Yeah, Mariota's been getting healthier, obviously, coming back from his injury that he had towards the beginning. He's getting healthier each and every week. He's been playing a little bit better, getting more chemistry. This team we anticipated was going to be much better. I think they're finally kind of growing into what we thought they were going to be. But like you said, Indianapolis has been playing tough every week.
Yeah, that front seven. Now, you could throw it on them, but that front seven's, they've been really good against the run all year.
All right, the next one, big point spread. Kansas City at home, 10-point favorites.
Ooh.
Buffalo coming into Kansas City.
Buffalo's with Tyrod Taylor back at quarterback.
Okay, can we just...
After the craziest experiment
This I've is an aside here. Seen. This is the dumbest... This is one of the dumbest things I've seen happen in the NFL since I've been watching the NFL dedicated since I was 7 years old. Like, this is... I just can't... And the best part is that LeSean McCoy in his press conference before Peterman started the game said he's either going to throw 4 or 5 touchdowns or he's going to throw 4 or 5 picks. Because that to me summed up how the entire locker room probably felt about it, was like, this is an experiment and we don't know how it's going to go. And you don't want your NFL team, you don't want your team, who, by the way, was 5-4 and in a playoff spot going into that game, to be up in the air about what is going on. Peterman was atrocious in this game. And I feel...
Not really.
He threw Not 5 really. Picks.
Two were dropped. Two were hit right where they're supposed to hit, and the dudes dropped them.
It just wasn't.
Joey Bosa hit him right in the chops.
Yes.
And one was a terrible pick.
Stats
don't always tell the story.
I felt for him because he was put into a bad situation.
Horrible.
The Bills, not Peterman, the Bills management and staff are to blame for what happened because
100%.
They put him in a situation where the locker room was split more for Tyrod than anything else.
You're 5-4. You're in playoff position.
Doesn't make any sense.
Tyrod's not the future, so what? In that game, he's the mobile quarterback that can move around against the best pass rush in football, and that defense overall is getting really good.
Oh, by the way, haven't made the playoffs since 1999.
Awful. It's just an awful spot to put Peterman in. You can't go into that thinking he's going to have more success than Tyrod. It was absolutely awful.
It was a disaster.
Tyrod coming back, I think he gives them a spark. Kansas City's reeling. They've lost 4 or 5
after
starting 5-0. They've got issues. It's that secondary, but now you can run it on them a little bit. That defense went from really solid, and you couldn't really do that, to the pass rush has slowed down. They're getting really, really simplified in the back end. They're not playing a lot of different coverages. If Marcus Peters doesn't play out of his mind, it's really tough for them to play good defense. I've got them winning this game, but I think it's going to be pretty good. I think it's going to be pretty low scoring after I just went through that whole thing on their defense, because I don't think they have a ton of offensive weapons in Buffalo. I got Kansas City 24-16 because I think it's an absolute must-win for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
With the Chargers coming on, the Raiders are still hanging around. Yep. Denver's reeling, but Kansas City's got to win this division. I think it's a must-win for them. I think they get it done.
Yeah, 24.
And it's at Arrowhead.
Yeah, at Arrowhead, 24-17, Chiefs win this game. But it's not convincing. That's what I it's a win, but Chiefs fans are not feeling much better after they win because they're and we work with one who's very loud and very angry towards Andy Reid and Alex Smith, and I hear about it all the time. But they did not do what we all expected them to do last week, so they have to repent for those sins. New England is the biggest spread of the weekend. 16.5 points at home against the Miami Dolphins, who are one of the hardest teams to figure out what in the hell they are doing. It is truly, I've called them Jekyll and Hyde. They continue to be that team. It is hard to figure them out because at one point we were talking about how they had won 4 football games in a row, and now they are a total disaster.
They won 4 in a row, but still had the biggest point differential in the AFC.
How is that even possible? Because they've lost. Though the games that they have lost, they've gotten destroyed. And that's what's so, I'm sure if you're Adam Gase, that's probably what's so frustrating, is because you won 4 games in a row, but then the other games you've just gotten shellacked. And it's got to be, I mean, this game's going to be ugly.
They've got real problems down there.
It's going to be really ugly.
Cutler's healthy. He's my starter. Matt Moore just went in and played great.
Yeah, Matt Moore looked good.
Brought you back to tie it up to maybe go to overtime, and you give up 10 late. This is funny. I look down and go, wow, I'm spot on with Vegas. I got 34-17 Patriots. I think they win handily. I think they put it on them. I think they take a chance to embarrass them at home. And I don't think it's close.
No, I don't think this is close at all. I'm with you.
By the way, that New England defense is getting better. We talked about it last week. Better and better and better every week.
And Tom Brady's averaging over 300 yards a game in passing.
And they're still averaging 30 points.
We freaked out for 2 weeks about the Patriots, and they're exactly where they want to be.
We freaked out on that defense for 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And now it's really turned around.
Yeah. Now Matt Patricia, Bill Belichick have gotten everything ready to go there. They look fine. They look just fine. They took care of business. The Raiders looked like a joke in that game against them. It looked like Tom Brady and company had been working out in that fake facility I told you about. But yeah, not this one's going to be ugly. Don't even bother watching that football game. Carolina going on the road to play the New York Jets. Carolina getting 4.5 points going on the road. That's because a lot of what's been going on with Carolina has been people are really liking, especially when Luke Kuechly's back in that defense. We've seen what a difference he makes and what this team looks like now that they've let Cam be Cam again. And I thought when they traded away Calvin Benjamin that things were going to be weird, but it did this opposite thing where they got better offensively when Calvin Benjamin left, and more so because it looks like they're letting McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart both be involved in the offense, and they're letting Cam do his thing as well. So I think Carolina gets the win here, although the New York Jets have been playing very well and been in every game.
This is why I don't bet. Again, 4 points, 4.5. I got the Panthers 28-24. I think it's a really good game.
Yeah.
I think Todd Bowles coming off a bye week gets that defense ready to play against a college offense. You trade Benjamin away, that takes you from being more of a pro style. Cam drops back and throws, maybe runs around. So they're running speed sweeps, they're running read options, and it's more of what Cam ran at Auburn. He's probably the only guy that can sustain that for a season or multiple seasons, because everybody else that we've seen try has failed because the quarterback either gets hurt, because none of them are that big.
Yep.
But he also has learned to kind of get down, not take some of the hits. I don't think it wins them the division, though.
I think
once you get 4 or 5 weeks of watching who that is, there's not really some other play. I mean, Samuel's okay. Funchess is okay. He's more of a possession guy. McCaffrey's been great, but they're force-feeding him. I don't see that. I don't see him getting past Atlanta or the Saints.
Mm-mm.
But I see him winning this one really close. I got it 28-24. I think it works again. But I think Todd Bowles is going to have that defense ready to play. I think this one will be a fun one to watch.
I think so, too. I'm going 27-24. The old Jets cover that spread just barely because I anticipate that this is going to be a really good one. Maybe it's because I love Todd Bowles, but
I think there's going to be some turnovers in this one.
Yeah,
Kuechly and that defense are legit.
And
I think both defenses play well, so I think there's going to be some turnovers, some kind of weird stuff can happen in this one.
And give some love to Josh McCown, who's kept that team going offensively.
Absolutely.
And has really shown that, you know, he's been the starting quarterback there and been a top fantasy quarterback, which I never would have said going into the season. Okay, the next one we could probably just skip, but the Chicago Bears going on the road to play the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are 13.5 point favorites at home. This is just the Eagles played a first half that was below mediocre against the Dallas Cowboys and then came out and took care of business. That was the team that I anticipate they will be back home. They're playing an inferior football team. that defense is going to feast on rookie quarterback, and the Bears do not have the weapons to keep up with that football team.
I've got it closer than Vegas, and I've said the Bears are going to be in a lot of games.
10 points.
This isn't one of them. I've got 27-17 exactly. Philly. You know what I learned in Dallas the other night watching Philly? Really good teams can flip the switch in the locker room, and they're capable of doing that.
Yep.
Their receiving core scares me about winning it all or being the best team in the league right now.
So I would favor New Orleans over them.
Yeah, probably. And I think Minnesota's going to stay right there.
Minnesota's got
offensive weapons, but that defense is legit. Mm-hmm. Depending on where that game's played. Alshon Jeffery's better than I thought he would be, but they don't really have a complimentary piece. Torrey Smith's a guy. Aguilar's a guy. Ertz, healthy, is huge.
Yes.
Ajayi was a big addition for them. Wentz is the difference maker. So we'll see. But they're going to win this one. They're going to keep rolling. They win the East. I've got it 27-17. I think this is a bad matchup. They stop
very
the run
bad.
And they get after the quarterback.
Yeah.
This is
going to be a very bad matchup for Chicago. I do think it's closer than what Vegas has it to. I'm thinking 10 points, probably just what you said, 27-17 or 30-20. It's just the Bears don't have enough, and their defense has been riddled with injuries, and because they've held up throughout, they just keep coming down, and the offense just can't keep up with what they need to do. Next game, the interdivisional, Seattle going on the road to play San Francisco. Seattle getting 6.5 points. We talked about their injuries at length. They have a lot of injuries defensively. For some reason, I read a piece yesterday on Bleacher Report about, and it was written by somebody who is a Seahawks fan, because I follow her on Twitter, about why San Francisco is going to beat the Seattle Seahawks in this game. And maybe that's lingering in my mind. I'm not going to pick San Francisco to win this football game, but I do think it's going to be close.
Go back and look at the first one when Seattle was healthy and San Francisco was healthy, because they're still beat up. They're coming off a bye.
But still.
I like that. They're at home. That game was really close, like 9-6, something
yeah.
like that. That San Francisco front's not the same. You had 3 first-round picks that were rolling on that defensive line then. You still had Navarro Bowman. Reuben Foster was healthy. He's back healthy, but you don't have Navarro Bowman anymore.
Yeah.
Seattle's got a point to prove. They're still good. The Legion of Boom is done. We talked about
it's
that Sunday.
Offense.
It's not even their offense. It's Russell Wilson.
Yeah. No, the guy's he's putting up MVP type of numbers considering
yeah, and stop
how
with,
bad
he's
gonna
win it.
Else.
They're going to finish 9-7 at best, and they've got a bunch of home games coming, but that's not the same home field advantage.
No.
Atlanta blew their doors off and then kept them in the game with just stupid, stupid mistakes on special teams. And I love their special teams coordinator. They got really good coaches. The guys just made dumb mistakes, just stupid stuff. I think they win this game. What'd you say the line was?
6.5.
I think they cover it. I think it's 24-17. I think it's right there close. They might put up more than that.
I want to go 24-20.
Are we going to see Garoppolo coming off a bye?
I kind of feel like it. I feel like it's going to be 24-20.
That's crazy. If you're going to say we're going to start Garoppolo against Seattle as his first start for us,
yeah,
made no sense about 6 weeks ago. Now you're going, those corners now that are beat up,
looks
pass rush
good.
Isn't the same. This probably is a good place to do it.
Yeah.
I think they hang in there, but I think Seattle's just got too much, and that's all Russell Wilson.
Yeah, he's
still can't run the ball at all, by the way.
No, he by definition most valuable player. I think he is, just because if you take him off that team is garbage. They're
yes,
garbage.
Absolutely.
Even with everybody healthy defensively, that team's not winning football games. All right, New Orleans going on the road to play the LA Rams. The LA Rams are 2.5-point favorites in this one. They're coming off a loss to Minnesota, where Minnesota dominated defensively especially, and that LA Rams offense that we were talking about so much and how many points they were putting up and whatever got put in check last week. And that was a tough road game. I know you and I have talked about this. I still believe in the Rams, okay? They have a really tough stretch of games. They went to New York and won. They smoke-showed the Giants. They played a tough team in a tough environment on the road. I'm still a believer in this team. That being said, I'm picking the Saints to win this road game.
What you got?
I am saying 30-27 Saints.
I like it, but I'm going to disagree.
Okay.
There are must wins throughout the season, and stop with they have to be going into the playoffs. No, they don't. You just watched your big brother lose on Monday Night Football, you have a chance to take a hold of the division and you go up there later in the year. It is a must win for LA.
For sure.
Right now. For as good as you've played this season. And I said they'd come back to earth. They've got a chance to really come back to earth if they lose two in a row after losing last week. Cooper Kupp's fumble at the end of the first half was huge. They could have gone in halftime 14-7 leading that game. I think it completely changes the dynamics and the outcome of that game. I got 34-31 Rams in a friggin' shootout.
Yep.
New Orleans defense has been great. But there's something you're going to have to pick up on film last week. Oh, by the way, McVay was in Washington. He's going to know those players and that offense and what to do against the same defense back-to-back. That's not real good for New Orleans playing those two teams back-to-back just because of that fact. He's going to pick up some stuff. And Kirk Cousins lit him up.
Yep.
Lit him up.
Mm-hmm.
That Rams defense played good last week. They're getting better and better. You still can run on them for some reason, which I don't like because you really shouldn't be able to with Wade Phillips' defense and the guys that they have. But I think it's a must win. I think they get it done at home. I got it 34-31. I think that's going to be a really, probably game of the week and a really, really fun one to watch.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching that game, afternoon game here in Arizona. I'm still sticking with the Saints. I think that one's going to be a really good one. But this is where the Saints really pull away and solidify the fact that they're one of the best.
I think it's one
best.
Of the best things that can happen to the Saints is they break this streak. You've won 8 straight.
Yeah, that's true.
Starting 0-2. You're in LA, across the country, really good team.
Yeah, you have an excuse.
You get back to rolling and win the division. It's hard. You start winning 9, 10, 11 in a row, there's a different pressure that mounts that I don't think they want. Not saying that that's going to matter how this outcome is.
And I totally get that, but with leadership, i.e. Drew Brees in the locker room, I think they'd be okay.
Yeah,
especially because they won.
How about that advantage right now? You're running it so well that if you have to, like last week, oh, well, you just turn it over to Drew Brees.
Yeah, no.
And he lit up. Redskins to finish the game, to go to overtime, and then you turn it back over the running game.
I love this team going forward. All
depending right. on where they have to play, but they can run it, so they can go outside.
Jacksonville coming to the desert. The old Jaguars are getting 5.5 points coming on the road. I hate to pat both of us on the back, but we will. And you can say we have insider information all you want, but we've been saying Blaine Gabbert's been going to do good things. And, yes, I understand he made a couple of bad mistakes at the end of the game. He was trying to force it to win the football game when you're down 10 and he had to do that. Give the guy some credit. Nobody, and I mean nobody, thought Blaine Gabbert was going to come in there other than maybe the two of us sitting in this room at least talked about it. And he played well. He not only played well, he put that team in a position to win, and the defense has got to do more and stop Tom Savage to win that football game. So
they do. They do. The defense really needed to step up and make some plays. Tom Savage played well. Give him credit. Blaine played great. I thought the Cardinals were running
great.
A little bit better than they did. They really got stoned up front.
But that's what made what Blaine did more
and he had
impressive.
Some serious drops.
For sure.
The receivers did not help out other than Fitz. I mean, it was kind of brutal to watch at times. They really need somebody to step up for that team offensively. But it was there for the taking. This Jacksonville team.
Best defense right now.
Legit best defense. The stats of when they traded for Marcell Dareus now against the run compared to beforehand, you could run it on him, but you couldn't throw it. Now you can't do either. But that offense is garbage and hasn't done anything. 3 of the last 4 games they've had a special teams touchdown, which is the reason they won those games. They're 7-3. I don't know that they're going to be favored against 7 or 8 teams if they were playing on a neutral field against AFC teams right now that are 500 or making the playoffs. That defense is legit, but that offense, I think the Cardinals have to bounce back against the run because you're loading the box against Fournette. It's the only way you're getting beat. The receiving corps is beat up. Bortles is up and down. That being said, I don't know that the Cardinals have enough left health-wise to win this game. I think it's really close. I don't think Jacksonville's beaten up on anybody. I got them 21-17. I hate to say it.
Yep, I'm the same.
I'll tell you what I like. Blaine Gabbert gives the Cardinals a chance to win every game they've got left on the schedule.
Yes, he does.
Dude can play. He could play the first 6 years. Go back and look at the receivers that he played with. 7 head coaches and 6 coordinators in 6 years, and you want to write this guy off? He's 27 years old.
Listen.
Look at the tools. 6'4", 230, athletic. Has a rocket that's accurate. He's now in a system that really fits him for the first time. He just needs some stability.
Yeah,
dude can play.
And this isn't exactly the most stable situation right now. The fact that Larry Fitzgerald's the only wide receiver he has to throw the ball to. These guys, I mean, said it during the press conference. These guys got to catch the ball. I mean, Jerron Brown, JJ, I mean, it's...
Jerron Brown now has a toe. He's probably out. He's got turf toe. Chad Williams, we're going to see, who's been apparently been great in practice. I don't have access to practice people, so don't act like I'm there every day getting some crazy inside information. I just watch what you see on Sundays. I just have some people to talk to. But JJ's got to step up.
Yep.
Missed a big drop against on Thursday night against Seattle. Big drop to keep a drive going last week. I'm excited to see Chad Williams. And I think Ricky Seals-Jones is going to continue to go receiver slash tight end. Look, dude made the team on being a tough SOB that would stick his face in there.
And Blaine Gabbert's obviously got some chemistry with him.
This kid was the number one recruit in the country. Five-star receiver. Freak. Those guys don't just make the switch in minicamp to tight end and make a team on the fact that they'll do nothing other than stick their face in there and try. Those guys don't exist.
No.
Give him a ton of credit for being tough as nails, learning how to play special teams, being on the practice squad, fighting every day, getting a chance, and you go out and do what you did last week. I know that coaching staff's excited about him. They're trying to figure out exactly where he fits because he doesn't really run like a receiver.
Yeah.
But he's a giant-bodied guy that's a matchup nightmare. I mean, he's going to get a shot to keep doing it.
Yeah, and it looked like him and Blaine started developing some chemistry, especially as the game went along, because I know y'all stacked that offense last week. I'm sure that's what you had in your daily fantasy, Blaine Gabbert and Ricky Seals-Jones.
And add Chad Williams to it this week?
Yeah, that's a big fat nobody had that. Denver going on the road to play Oakland. The Raiders are a 5-point favorite against the old Broncos. These two teams, my oh my. It has been an interesting up and down year for both of these teams. Last week I thought Oakland was going to lose the football game but be much closer and more competitive in that football game. They fired their defensive coordinator. You see some of the players are not very happy about that. They've expressed that on via Twitter. That to me screams there's some issues there. Obviously, when your players are not very happy about some of the decision making that's going on, I think that was a scapegoat move. I think this offense has taken a huge step back, and I think the defense is taking the brutalness of what's going on there. When in reality, it's the whole team that's taken a step back.
They have, but that defense has been garbage
for sure.
Look, John Pagano, Chuck's little brother, longtime defense coordinator, was in San Diego for a long time, does a good job, but he's been on the staff all year. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much different you're going to do. They have zero interceptions through 10 games, the first time in NFL history.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure that's the stat that I heard. They're not getting turnovers. They have been terrible, terrible all year. That offense has taken a monster step back. You look at this game, Paxton Lynch now starting for Denver. How about this one? So last week, Simeon is inactive. Paxton Lynch is active for the first time as Brock's backup. Now you've got Paxton Lynch is the starter, Simeon is the backup, and Brock's inactive.
Yeah, this is a disaster for quarterbacks.
And they changed their so their offensive coordinator is coming in new, Bill Musgrave, who's done a great job in the past, was with the Raiders for a while, and now a new defensive coordinator for the Raiders. I got to take the better quarterback at home. I've got the Raiders 24-20. I think this game's interesting. And by the way, if San Diego happens to lose on the road, Kansas City blows one at home, the Raiders win, they're right back in the division race. I mean,
this division
could save their season when they've been terrible.
Yeah, this division going into the season, everybody had is, wow, these two, they could have 3 10-win teams. They could be so good, and now
first to worst.
Yeah, now we're looking at a disaster for the entire division. I'm still picking Oakland with you, 24-20. I don't trust. I've watched Paxton Lynch. I've seen enough of it. I don't think this is going to be. I think they're just trying at this point because they know that they're looking at it. They're going to try and see what they got here. And this offense is just. I mean, I saw the stat about their running backs that they didn't have a running back that had over more than 10 carries over the last 5 weeks. I mean, offensively, they are atrocious.
Here's
to watch.
What I think you're going to see. I think you're going to see more of Kubiak's offense.
Okay.
You're going to see some rollouts, some naked boots. Paxton Lynch is a big dude, but he's really athletic. He can mm-hmm. throw on the move. He's got a rocket arm. He's also, what does he have to lose? They don't want anybody that's going to turn it over, obviously, but he's a gunslinger. I think he's going to go in there and try to make some plays, and he's got two really good guys on the outside to do it with.
Listen, Oakland, you better get an interception this week. This is your week.
Yeah, you
this
better, because he's going to try to throw it in some tight windows, and you're going to have a chance to do it. I think he plays decent.
Yeah.
I think he shows a flash. I mean, Simeon throws it okay. Brock doesn't have a very big arm and can do some crazy things. I like great dude, but
yeah, just not
kind of has not been great. Paxton Lynch is going to show you more talent than the other two and more arm talent for sure. So, and that defense is still world beaters. If they can run it at all and just get a couple first downs here and there on some drives that slow that game down, I think it's going to be close.
Yeah,
but I'm taking the better quarterback in the home team.
If Denver can create some points defensively, if they can score a pick six or whatnot, I would flip the score. I could see Denver going in there and winning that football game. But I'm sticking with Oakland 24-20. The game here, Green Bay going on the road to play the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Primetime Ben against Brett Hundley. Good Lord, sign me up for this game. Offensively, I want to see a repeat of Antonio Brown in the end zone for my fantasy team. And I want all the Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown celebrations. I don't think they're ever going to run out of them. They get more innovative each and every time. It's fantastic. So this game I'm going to watch because it's Sunday Night Football, but it's going to be ugly.
It is going to be ugly. Juju, not 100%.
Yep.
Got a small hamstring, Mike Tomlin said. Marcus Gilbert out for 4 weeks, suspended. Huge. Huge. Not necessarily this week. Huge moving down the stretch. Baltimore's coming on. We'll talk about that game next. This one's going to be ugly. I got Steelers 31-21. They don't lose a prime time at home.
Yeah.
They damn sure ain't losing to Brett Hundley in Pittsburgh. And the rest of that team is terrible. Their pass defense has got awful. The Steelers look like they've got it going a little bit the last couple weeks. I think they have a big week, whether Juju's 100% or not. He's going to play for sure. Is that kid fun or what? I call him a kid. He's 20.
I love him.
He just got his driver's license.
I love him. He's so fun.
Fun. Brings energy to a town that can be a little dull this time of year, and you're only talking Stillers. He brings an energy to that place that I absolutely love. But I think they need it.
Listen, football should be fun. You should enjoy yourself when you watch sports. I'm highly entertained by Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster.
And throw Le'Veon Bell in there. He's getting his celebrations, too. He did the bench press a few weeks ago.
I think they look like they're just having a great time, and God bless them. As long as you're winning football games and getting in the end zone, celebrate all you damn want.
They need that. They need that. They've gotten away
from
the NFL. They finally accepted that we're not going to run it 164 times and win 3-0. Their defense is coming on and playing better. And you have these weapons, and it's fun.
Ben's
also getting
old.
Ben's not jumping in these celebrations. Get it to your playmakers and go do it. You know what I mean?
Ben ain't doing any celebrations, that's for sure. He's throwing the touchdowns, but he's not jumping around with
those guys. Ben's an old guy like me now, so let the little young guys run around and do their thing. They are fun, and I think they're going to keep rolling. They're going to be tough when the playoffs roll around.
Yeah, they sure are. I think that
this Marcus Gilbert thing could wind up being a good thing for them, by the way.
Because he'll come back right in time.
They're going to win the division. Yeah. He's going to come back fresh.
Yeah, Patriots and the old Steelers in the AFC Championship game.
Yep, depends on where it is.
The pick before the year is looking mighty fine. All right, last game, Monday Night Football. Houston going on the road to play Baltimore. Baltimore just took care of business in Lambeau. They beat an inferior team with Brett Hundley there.
And beat them like you're supposed to.
Beat them like convincingly.
Yes.
It was a convincing win.
Third shutout of the year.
On the road in Lambeau. It was the first time that the Packers have been shut out at home since like
84.
Yeah, it was ridiculous stat. But that's what happens when you have Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers as your quarterbacks, obviously, with Brett Hundley there. That did not happen. Baltimore at home against an inferior team here in Houston. I think that they're going to take care of business on Monday Night Football.
Another really tough place to play and really tough place to play in prime time. That defense, when they play an inferior offense, has been
very
phenomenal.
Nice.
They've laid a couple eggs. I mean, they got smoked in London by Jacksonville
that offense, which
that's kind of the outlier. Throw that one away.
Yes.
We talked about last week. Good organizations that are well-coached coming off a bye, and you go out and dominate last week. DeAndre Hopkins getting more targets than anybody in the NFL, and it's not even close, and he's still putting up. Other than that, was fun watching him and Pat P last week.
Yeah, God bless you, Hopkins, for my fantasy
team. You could have gotten an assault charge a few times. They let him play.
Oh, he pushed off on P2 quite a few times, but let him play.
But they let him play, and it was fun to watch.
Sure was.
You have three corners that are that physical this week.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly.
Jimmy Smith, who's a lot bigger than Pat P, Marlon Humphreys, who's faster. Even if they move him around, he's still got – it's going to be – you got two really good guys in secondary and Weddle and Jefferson. That defense is rolling. Texans ran it pretty well last week. I don't think that continues either. Now we got to talk about the Ravens' offense. They do enough to get it done. I still think this ends up being a fairly close game just because I don't think the Ravens' offense –
27-20.
I got 24-20, but I could easily see, 27-20, 24-17.
Yeah.
I don't know that the Texans can put 20 up on them.
Yeah, that's more
– it'll be close. Actually, I'll change it. I'll go 24-17. I like
it. 24-17. It's going to be a close game, but Baltimore is going to take care of business defensively in Houston. Listen, I think Tom Savage had his best game that he's going to have last week. I think he gave it – they had been playing so poor.
Made a couple ridiculous throws.
Yeah, and I think he had been playing so poorly and just been getting dogged week in and week out, and I think he just gave it everything he had last week, and I just anticipate a big letdown from where he was last week.
If Will Fuller comes back, it'll help.
For sure.
Having somebody that secondary really has to look at going deep and taking the top off. I'll tell you the other thing I like about this Ravens team is Macklin and just totally drew a blank. Both receivers can run. Yes. Mike Wallace. I love him. I don't know how I just lost that. They can both run. They're both healthy again.
Yep.
They can both take the top off of a defense. So there's going to be some shots. I said that last week. They're going to run it, take a shot. I think that continues. I think they hit a couple of them.
Yeah, you're hoping that Flacco...
Because you can throw it on this Texans defense.
Yes.
You can't run it real good, but you can throw it on them.
Yeah, you're hoping that Flacco continues to get a little bit more healthy. All right, any parting thoughts? You want to say what you're thankful for this holiday season since it's Thanksgiving week?
I'm thankful for a lot.
Well, just give us...
I am thankful for a lot, but I'll tell you
how what... How about a sports-related thing?
A sports-related thing?
Yeah, give us some sports-related...
Did I get to sit here and do this with you every week? This is one of the highlights of my week. I absolutely love this. This is fun.
Yeah, talking sports is the best.
And things are turning on a little bit. This week looks easy. I have a feeling we're going to come in here next week going, what is going on with this NFL season? Because that's kind of how it's been. We went 10-4 2 weeks ago, 9-5 last week. We're up to 162 for the year. Well, you're 99-63 because you picked against me once. But we'll see how that works out for you next week. But it's been good. It's been absolutely fun. But no, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Starts the holiday season. I love it. College football is going to be bananas for the next month.
It's going to be so much fun. The college football season is in full swing. We're about to get, hopefully, what I'm thankful for sports-wise. I did a video on this, and you can check it out at the sports page. But mostly I'm thankful that... that the LA Dodgers did not win the World Series so that I can continue to say that the Los Angeles Dodgers have not won a World Series in my lifetime. It's my favorite thing to say.
I now feel old.
I just want to say it over and over and over again. And for most of this calendar year, the Chicago Cubs were reigning World Series champions. It's just music to my ears. Well, everybody, enjoy your Thanksgiving. Eat a lot of turkey or whatever you like to
spaghetti
eat on Thanksgiving. Spaghetti and meatballs if you're Chuck Pagano, I guess. You can follow Jake at Jake B. Arians. You can follow me at @_sports_page. And you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes by searching for The Sports Page. Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for listening.